Hello again, sports fans, and welcome to a special edition of Sports Chat. I'm Jeff Cook, and I'm here with Scott Anderson, one of the class of 2023 of the Adams County chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame. With that great introduction, Coach Anderson, welcome to the program.
Thanks
for being with us. And we'll talk about your sporting life and your curriculum vitae, but currently you just got finished with the baseball season.
Yes.
Legion.
We finished the Legion season.
I was there for your penultimate contest, and you won that, but I guess Northeastern was pretty – you predicted they'd be good.
Northeastern is very good.
You played them twice and during the regular – nice, so you played them three times.
Yes. I would be very surprised if they don't go a long way this week at the regional mm-hmm. Region 4 tournament, yeah.
But still, talking to you, you put the emphasis on how many young players, guys that were just JV during the spring baseball season, and how they really are coming of age and the future's bright.
Yeah. Well, we were pretty pleased. Well, like I said, we use the Legion season. That gives us usually 6 to 8 weeks to transition some of those young men into where we think they can be next spring. So we're pretty happy with that.
Now, is there a sport you have not coached? I mean,
talk
about your diversity of coaching experience.
Well, you know
obviously baseball, we just mentioned that.
I was going to say back in the day, I played three sports in high school.
Well, I was
football, wrestling, and baseball.
All right.
And when you were a phys ed teacher, and you go back 40 years ago, they expected you to coach, and it was not an oddity to be coaching more than one thing.
Yeah.
And my first coaching job, I graduated in the December of 1980, got hired in January of 81. I went back to my hometown, Uniontown, Pennsylvania, and I was an assistant wrestling coach. That was my first job. I got hired in January.
Steelers country?
Yes, yes. Okay. So I started coaching. I was an assistant wrestling coach and was there. At that time, I was still living in my hometown, and I coached and started refereeing wrestling at that time. As a matter of fact, it was the head wrestling coach there. Back then, we didn't make a lot of money, teaching and coaching. And he said,
"Still don't probably.
Well, it's much better."
Yeah.
It was so long ago that he took me down. It was Chartiers Valley High School. You took the test, PIAA test, on the spot. The lady corrected it with the – they took the answer key, answered it. She goes, "You passed." So we would go on the weekends. He would take me on the weekends, and we'd go referee some elementary stuff, make probably $20. And it was good, though. You go out and make a couple of bucks on the weekend.
$20 went a lot further in those days.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. So I started, coaching, and I started refereeing wrestling back then.
So how many years of wrestling refereeing do you have under your belt?
I was looking at it the other day. I want to say that I actually took a hiatus, because when I came down here, I was coaching, and I always kept my license and went to the meetings. I just didn't referee.
Well, sure, if you're a wrestling coach, you can't be a ref. Yeah. Conflict of interest.
Yes. So my son, when he graduated in 2003, that's when I stepped away from being an assistant. I was coaching three sports at New Oxford for, 12 or 13 years.
Football?
Football, wrestling, baseball.
Okay, so you were an assistant coach in football?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was Jardy's offensive coordinator for many years. So I did that for many, many years.
Yeah, Jardy's a member of the Hall.
Yes. Great man. We like I say, we could do a show just on coaching with Jardy.
I got a little vignette about Jardy. We used to do a preview for the Gettysburg Times, and so it was a tough season for the Ox. It was like 0-8, 0-9, 0-9, or something
yes.
like that.
Yes.
Going to the last game, he wouldn't return my calls. So my lead was, it's not dark, but it's getting there. And I said, if you can't quote the coach, you can always quote Bob Dylan. So I managed to go with it. But, that was at the nadir. But there was a lot more great years than down years.
I'll tell you what,
program.
Whether he knows it or not, Jardy was a mentor to me. I learned a great deal from him. I learned how to – just how to manage people. He was a terrific manager of people. I think that he always got more out of someone than you thought was possible. And again, the a great year for me, 2002, my son was a senior. We won a D1 championship. He ended up with a pretty good season, some accolades, and went on and played in college. And he and Jardy were, I tell you what, my son wouldn't trade that for the world, to play for Jardy.
How was that to have to coach your son?
Interesting.
Talk about conflict of interest.
Well, you know what? Actually, coaching him was not very hard. I really think that at the end of it, I wanted it to be a good experience for him. I think that everyone thinks that, a coach's son, we go home and we talked about game plans all day. And I'll be honest with you, when we were there, we coached him when we were at practice and game, the things you do. At home, I was just trying to be his dad. And I think that was a good thing. It was a delicate balance.
It always helps when your son's good, so the other players can say, he's earned his playing time. It's not just because he's the coach's son.
You're right. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I was fortunate that Ryan was a good player, and I don't think that question ever came up. But there's a balance. And, again, I was coaching him in the fall, in the winter, in the spring.
Wrestling, baseball.
Yeah, I mean, the quarterback and the offensive coordinator, they're constantly back and forth. In the winter, I stepped back a little bit. Dave Conaway did a terrific job with Ryan, and I sort of tried to be a little more hands off with that. And then in the spring, obviously, I was the head baseball coach. So,
so how many years now for the Colonials baseball coach?
I got there.
New math here.
I'm gonna have to do it. I got there in '88. And
we have an abacus. We can 88. Okay.
I got there in '88. I didn't coach. I volunteered. I did some volunteering. Okay. Lee Rensel was the head coach when I was there. Lee was the head coach. Wayne was his assistant. I helped out.
He's
with
in
James.
The hall, isn't he?
Yes.
Lee Rensel, and he coached at Gettysburg College also.
Yes. He's terrific guy. Terrific guy.
So you've had these Hall of Fame mentors.
I have. I've been really lucky. The people that I've been able to work with in my career at New Oxford, you couldn't ask for better people to work with. So, I was there. I want to say that in 90, I took over the JV team. And then in 92, Wayne became the head coach, and I was his assistant. So, I guess in earnest, and since 90, so, we're getting up there. What, about 35 years?
Yeah. Close to it.
Yeah, next year will be 35.
Yeah.
So.
And then you segue right into American Legion ball.
We started doing that. That would have been about 2007. Lee Miller was the Legion coach for many years. My son, played for Lee and through the Legion process. And he called me. I remember it was wintertime. He called me. I think it was January. And he said, "Hey, Scott, I'm not going to do it this year. Would you be interested in taking the Legion team?" And I said, "I'll tell you what, Lee, give me about 20 minutes. And I went over and I said to my wife, "What do you think?" And she goes, "Absolutely." Honestly, I think she likes it better than I do. I mean, she was like, "Where are we going tonight?" I mean, you see her. She's in the dugout keeping the book. She's, and she does. She loves it. I mean, a guy told me when I was in high school that if you want to be happy when you're older, you got to do two things right. You have to marry well, and you've got to enjoy your job. And I've been very lucky I haven't gotten everything right, but I got those two things right. And she's been a wonderful partner through the whole thing. And the nice thing about her is she's coached she graduated a semester after me. Mm-hmm. So I started coaching, and I got a coaching job in January of 81, and she started coaching at Uniontown in September of 81. So I'm not far ahead of her. She's been coaching pretty much. So when you're married to a coach, they understand, they get it. When you walk home, they understand the happy times, then they understand the disappointment. And so we started doing the Legion. At the time, we just wanted to make sure that our kids had a meaningful place to play. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, the travel baseball thing was really not the thing then. They had travel baseball, but it was for a few elite kids. And I wanted to make sure that our kids had somewhere to play in the summer. And again, also selfish motives, because we wanted to be able to coach our guys for another 6 weeks to 8 weeks and hopefully improve the program.
I'm coaching rugby at Gettysburg College. I now coach the men. I coached the women for 10 years. Does coaching high school age and older, does it keep you young?
Absolutely.
I mean, I feel the same way.
It does, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I turned 65 this year, and there's times where I you sit there and say, I can't be 65. I mean, you know, I mean, we were talking the other day, my son, I got one son that's 40 and 39, and my daughter's, she's 35. And you sit there and you're going, I can't be that old. I do. I think when you spend your time with young people, you're just, your frame of mind is just a little different. And there's no doubt that what I've done in my life has kept me a little younger, I think, at least mentally.
They know you care about the game, and you also care about them.
Absolutely.
And there are life lessons to be learned from team sports. What do you have to say about that?
Well, there's no doubt. I just know that, I mean, I knew it from my own experience, that the most valuable thing that I got from sports is there are going to be ups and downs, and how do you manage it, you know? And I think that young people, if hopefully they've learned that the same things that made them an athlete, and they didn't have, you know, they don't have to be a star, you know? The same things that worked in athletics are also going to work when they're in their marriage, their job, their interpersonal communications, you know.
How to be a team player.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, everybody's not going to be the star, but you know what? I play a critical role.
Yeah.
And they can, hopefully they learn that, you know. But the same things, being on time, you know, being dependable, being accountable, all those things.
Caring about the team.
Absolutely. It's no different.
Have you ever coached women?
I have not.
Or girls? Okay.
I have not. So, the closest, Ramey and I were talking here earlier, the closest I came to with girls wrestling this year, I did a girls regional. And that's probably the only thing I've really been in the girls arena where it was competitive, very competitive. It was interesting. It really was.
Teamwork. There seemed to be better at teamwork, whereas guys kind of sometimes want the personal glory.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Women are more focused on the team, so really that's a challenge. I coach the men now, and getting them, okay, make that extra pass so we mm-hmm. score the try. Don't just try to bullet in and get tackled and lose the ball.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, and having a daughter, I can see that too. You know, that she was a three-sport athlete, and she did. You didn't
make her do it. She wanted to do it, right?
Yeah, I think she just kind of tagged along and you know, like you say, my wife's been coaching field hockey. That's why I said when she started coaching in southwestern Pennsylvania, there's no field hockey. And she was from Fleetwood, and I mean, soccer and field hockey were, you know, pretty much the deal there. And so she played, that's where I met her in college, and she was a field hockey player at Rockwood. So from the time my daughter was young, she had a field hockey stick in her hand. So
she made that trip a few times out Route 80
yes.
to go to Lock Haven.
Yes, and but yeah, I do think that my daughter watching her was different than the boys. You know, there's no doubt about it. I would agree with you the team concept and the, you know, that I think that's very, very important. You know, not that it isn't to the boys, because there's certainly some of them that is very important to them.
Well, you see teams that win championships, that have success on and off the field. That's the theme, that, you know, the old line, there is no I in team, but that is so true.
Oh, there, you know.
Culture. How do you build a culture? I mean, you deal with it, I deal with it. Every 4 years, there's a complete turnover in personnel, including, how old's the oldest Legion player? Can they be 19?
He can be 19. They can be 19.
So they could, have a year in college?
Yes.
Occasionally.
And come back.
Yeah.
And we've been lucky. We've had that
on
many occasions come back, which I always thought that was a great thing for them to want to come back and play in the summer for us. I think that gives you a little bit of an idea of what they thought of the culture and how we ran things.
Yeah, and, what are the keys to establishing a culture that enables you to create not just a one-season team, but a program where you can have success year after year?
I think the most important thing is consistency. If you look at programs where there's a great deal of turnover from year to year to year, those typically are the programs that are not very successful. You know, you look at, I know that when I came here in 88, you know, you look at, I always admired coaches that could win. I mean, we don't recruit our players, and they might not have won championships every year, but every year you knew that they were going to put out a very, very solid product. You know, I think of guys like Don Seidenstricker, Sam Leedy. You know, those guys, they were just, you knew, I mean, yeah, they weren't going to win a championship every year, but they were going to be very, very competitive. They were going to be well coached. Their kids are going to be ready to play. And I always had a great deal of admiration for both those guys. And I felt like, you know, if you stay in any one place, you're going to have up years and down years. I mean, that's just how it is. Again,
we
don't recruit our kids.
As much of a genius as you might be as a coach, if you have zero talent, good luck.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's I always said that.
You can maximize what they have, but if the talent is not there.
When you have a great team, the problem is we don't have any long-term contracts. You know, they come in and out. Yeah. And, you're lucky to have a couple-year run. So when you see programs that just tend to win year after year, you know that those coaching staffs are doing a terrific job. So, I mean, the biggest part of the culture is I think kids want to know who's at the top. They don't want to, hey, who's coaching this year? They don't want to ask that. They don't want to ask that question.
And they like it when they know the expectations.
Yes. I mean, day one, for a long time, you know, if you asked our players, hey, what do you think you're going to be doing day one? I think they could map it out for you. They, and again, I've been very fortunate to be able to keep many of our assistant coaches from year to year. So they're, like I say that I
continuity.
Think that's how you,
Littlestown, yeah. Same thing.
Absolutely.
I mean, those coaches are there year after year. And
yeah. I mean, I think they want to know that you love what you're doing. They're going to be treated fairly. And they're going to have an opportunity to develop their skills and be the best player they can be. And if once you've convinced them of that, I think everything goes pretty well. And I think your culture stands. I think your culture stands up to you know the occasional bad year.
And the values. What are the values that you try to impart to your players?
Well, again them being accountable. Be accountable. Be accountable to your family, your teammates, your coaches. Everybody here has to be accountable, and it's one of the things we tell them all the time. Just be accountable. Be on time. When you come to practice every day, we tell them expect to be challenged. You know, I'm not a micromanager as a coach. On game day, I'm not a micromanager. We like to micromanage practice. We micromanage our practices because we're trying to create as many situations as we can so that they're prepared for that. But on game day, I've gotten to the point where I'm pretty quiet because you would like to think that you've prepared them for what's going on here today. And then players have to play. You know, I'm convinced of that. You know, once we hand the kid the baseball, you know, it's in his hands.
You want to win, but you want them to get better also.
Absolutely.
To be the best version of themselves they can be.
I'm not saying we do it every year, but we haven't called a pitch for a couple of years. We haven't. I mean, we have.
Trust the catcher.
We trust our catchers. I mean, certainly we talk about, you know, there's game plans. We talk about what we'd like to do. And again, you know, I always tell them, hey, guys, I got veto power, but I rarely used it. You know, rarely use it. You have to trust. There has to be some trust, and I think that helps them grow a little bit too. That look, you know, you bear a responsibility here too, and make good decisions. You know, train. You know, coach quarterbacks for many years. I mean, they're going to throw interceptions. You know, and the last thing I ever wanted was them to start questioning themselves. It's like, look, we've prepared. Go through the progression, and let it rip. You know, you have to let them play.
You talk about quarterbacks. Braden Long's had a pretty impressive career at Slippery Rock, is that right?
Yeah, he was. We went and saw him play last year. I remember the day he was born. You know, I worked with Chris for almost every year I was at Oxford. Worked with Chris, so I've known Braden the whole way up. I coached Braden. Braden played baseball his freshman sophomore year, and his junior year. He was kind of heartbroken. He didn't want to tell me, but he took the year off because he was out there doing a bunch of the showcase stuff football-wise. You know, he was really trying to make the best decision he could mm-hmm. as to the next level. And he took the year off, and he came back. He said, don't worry, I'll be back for my senior year. And we would have had, I want to say, about 10 seniors, and that was the COVID year, 2020. 2020 and never played again. Never, you know, those kids. That is probably one of my greatest heartbreaks as a coach in all those years was those kids never got to play. And
there's some local teams who are really on the verge of state championship. Well, was it DeLone Girls? Well, or
New Oxford, they had just won in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, yeah. And Sean Bear was coach, wasn't
yes.
he? Yeah.
Yes, Sean Bear, and it just ended. Yeah. And we practiced, like you say, we had 10 seniors. And honestly, I mean, I don't want to, you know, I don't know, but it would have been one of the better teams I ever coached. And they
this is football.
This is baseball.
Oh, baseball.
In
okay.
20. Yeah,
right.
This was baseball in 20. And those guys never got to play a game. One of the kids that lives at the end of my street, when I see him, he still kind of looks at me and, you know, gives you a nod like, Coach, I still can't believe we didn't get to play. And Braden would have been a senior that was in 2020. He would have been a senior. Like I say, he just came off. I just talked to him because they had just won on, I want to say it was Tuesday night, they won a basketball game. And that's where they had Janae, him, Thomas Houck.
Where's he now? He was at Duquesne.
He's at Georgia Tech.
He's
at Georgia Tech. He was at Duquesne for 2 years. Yeah. I want to say 2 years with the COVID years.
He's done
now.
Well, though, hasn't he?
He's done very well.
Yeah.
He's done very well. And so, Thomas Houck, I saw Thomas. Oh, geez, I saw Thomas probably a month ago out at the Bridges. He came in.
Is he at Perky Owens School or somewhere down there?
Well, he was. Now he's at Florida. He's at the University of Florida.
University of Florida,
yep.
Yeah. He played 9th and 10th grade at New Oxford or
yes.
just 9th?
Yes. I want to say 9th and 10th, but you could be right. But, yeah, he is a – I want to say he's about a junior at Florida right now.
Let's turn back the clock. Let's go to Uniontown around the late 70s. You said you played three sports, and kind of, I know it's hard to talk about your own accomplishments, but what kind of athlete were you? Strike me as somebody who maybe like self-made, hardworking,
to a degree.
Same values that you
to a degree.
Yeah,
I was. You know, if you say if they would have said in today's day and age, if they would have said, Scott, you have to specialize, I would have been a baseball player.
Mm-hmm. What position?
I was an outfielder, first baseman. I was left-handed, so you know, when you're a left-handed kid, you played the outfield, you played first base. Got to play on.
There was a left-handed catcher in MLB. in 1988 or something.
It's funny you say that. My dad was, you know, he coached a little league and did all that stuff, and I remember we didn't have a catcher, and he got a left-handed mitt, so I did spend some time catching, and I loved it because. You're involved on every pitch. You know, when you're a little kid, you're involved in every pitch.
Yeah.
You know, so right. I pitched, I caught.
Especially when the ball's seldom put in play at certain levels.
Sure.
So,
you know, when you're a little kid, man, you want to pitch or catch.
And they're not bunting down the third baseline, which apparently what gives left-handed catchers the most trouble.
But I that was probably my first taste of sports. And then,
is that your best sport, baseball?
Yeah, I think it was.
What about college? Did you play in college?
I did not. But again, I ended up being a pretty good football player, linebacker, running back. Wrestling was the last thing that I sort of laugh about it because wrestling played a great role in probably the way my life turned out. But it was the last thing because back then wrestling was not a big deal where I grew up. It was sort of a very minor sport. It was not a very popular one if you go back into the early 70s, and. Everybody played basketball. You know, we all played little kid basketball. And,
sure.
And it became evident about seventh grade. Our high school was, Laurel Hans High School was very good. I mean, year after year after year. And, you know, there was a phys ed teacher that I admired, and he pulled me off the side. He goes, you know, you'd be better suited as a wrestler. I said, okay, coach. So I started to wrestle. And he was right. You know, he was right. Some of the guys that we had, I certainly wasn't going to. 5'7" basketball was probably not the best thing.
You weren't necessarily a Spud Webb type, throwing it down.
I don't think I could jump like Spud. So ended up wrestled. Had a pretty. I mean, I had a solid. I would, if you said I had a solid career as a wrestler. I was a pretty good football player. And but baseball would have been the thing that if you'd have said you could only play one, I would have played baseball.
Yeah. It's a great game. I'm a big Phillies fan, and people say, oh, it's boring, but, you know, I always multitask, do something else while I'm watching the game.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing with, like, football. You have the huddle and in between plays. And,
yeah.
Talk a little bit about when did you stop coaching all three sports at the same time. You remember when
that was? Yeah, that would have been my son's senior year when we walked out of Hershey. I knew that I was going to step back to two. And
suddenly you have all this free time. I mean,
Not necessarily.
You filled it quickly.
Well, what happened was, again, I told you that I had always kept my PIAA certification, and certainly I did a lot of wrestle-offs. You know, Dave was always like, well, you got the wrestle-offs, you know, because most coaches don't want them either because, you know, you get a contentious wrestle-off and all of a sudden, you
know. You got to decide who is the wrestler for your team at a certain weight class.
So somebody's not happy with you, and, and many coaches are not referees. So he always said, you know, Coach Anderson, you're taking wrestle-offs. Okay.
Yeah.
So I refereed a great deal. It was in a wrestling room.
Yeah.
And so when I stepped back, and Ron was a freshman at Dickinson, and Ashley, and both the boys were gone.
What sport did he play at Dickinson?
He played football and baseball.
Wow.
Yeah, he played football and baseball. And that is a harder deal than you might think because –
spring football? Yeah.
Well, they don't have spring football.
Right.
But the problem is at that level, I mean, he would finish up around Thanksgiving. You know, they would get finished up. And you're beat up by the end of that year. And before you knew it, football season was over. He was home for Christmas break. And – you know, almost immediately when they went back, you know, they started baseball practice.
Yeah.
So as time went on, he was nicked up. You know, you get nicked up, and it definitely had an impact. You know, the 1 year he had a foot injury, and his junior year was a tough year for him. But I don't think he'd trade it for the world, though, you know. Mm-hmm. That's why I tell kids sometimes, you know, they go, you know, I think I'm gonna focus on one, and I'm thinking – you know, there really aren't that many years in your life. You know, I used to tell them, look, if you live to be the average age of 76, high school's 4 years.
Yeah.
It's a blip, you know. And I tell kids, look, you know, don't come back 10 years from now and say, hey, I really wish I would have played football too, or I wish I would have played basketball too. Or, you know, I don't think Ryan would trade that experience for anything, you know.
Was Charles Warren at Dickinson when Ron was there?
I want to say Charles was older.
Okay.
Charles was older and probably gone.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he had a terrific career there.
He's still playing at the Y in Gettysburg.
I remember coaching against him.
Yeah.
But again, I stepped back in 2003, and I was coaching in the fall and then the spring. So my wife says, well, you know all those dues we paid for all those years as a wrestling official, you should start refereeing. I said, Doris, are you out of your mind? Because, you know, now you know all these coaches and whatnot. And she goes, no, seriously, you should. So my picture was, okay, I'll referee, I'll do some junior high stuff, and, you know, I'll give back, contribute. That's great.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't realize how few people do that until you start to do it. You know, you wondered as a coach sometimes, why do I always see such and such? You always see them, well, because very few people do it. I mean, you say, Bryant must be everywhere. You know, Bryant refereed plenty of our matches, and Bryant, you know, Bryant and I had some interesting discussions when we were on the opposite sides of the fence.
Yeah.
Now we're on the same side of the fence, and, you know, again, Brian is a mentor as well. And
he's your classmate in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
maybe we'll get to talk to him someday.
Yep.
Yeah, so Brian Meckley, a classmate of yours in the 2023 Hall of Fame. Talk about what that means to go into the Hall together with Brian and the mentors that you've had. Maybe you had some of the same individuals with a positive impact on your lives.
Well, going in with Brian was special for me. You know, I was saying that when I started refereeing again, and I kind of floated it by him, I said, I'm thinking about refereeing. And he's like, that's fantastic. And I'm thinking, well, okay, we'll see. Because I had done matches. But again, you're talking, it was years and years ago. And again, there weren't that many people to do it. So my thought was, I had this thought that I'll do some junior high stuff and it's no big deal. And Bryant really did take me under his wing. You know, if you would have told me when I started out that I would have done six state championships and had done some of these other things, I had absolutely no vision of that. And Bryant really he's just one of the best people I know. I mean, the guy.
So he got more out of you than you thought you had.
Absolutely.
And that's what coaches try to do with their players.
Absolutely. Because I didn't really picture that. I thought, you know, I'll help out and do some matches around here, and had no, you know, he'd say, hey, you know.
Well, obviously you got good reviews. They don't just say, hey, do some championship matches because you're a nice guy.
You know, I think obviously my background, me making that transition back there is a little easier having done what I did. I mean, if you really think about what a game official does, you are, I think the best ones, I think teachers, I think police officers, I saw like Bob Gano. Well, if you think about what does a police officer do? He has to tell people things they really don't want to hear. Teachers, what do we have to do? There are times, coaches, you have to tell people things they don't want to hear. And you have to do it in a tactful manner to hopefully make that bitter pill easier to swallow.
You're not attacking them personally. No. You're just trying to explain why they're not a starter, maybe. I mean.
Correct. And I think that
might have an inflated view of their own talent.
Usually that, I really truly believe that in that respect, players figure it out. You know, if you put them all in a, you know, people talk about, you may have an issue with a parent thinking their son or their daughter should be playing. I think many times the player gets it because they're at practice every day. They're looking around. I think people have a very good picture of what goes on in practice. Parents don't always have that because they aren't there.
Well, they're biased, of course.
Correct. And that's okay. Yeah. I mean, that's fine. But they have to understand in the grand picture of things. I think your son knows exactly where he is. And I think most of the time they do. Again, started doing that. Did I think that it would go there? No, not at all. And to be inducted with him, that was special. And having Bob nominate me, that was special. And again, Mike, Mike and I had been friends for many, many years. And Josh Martin, my goodness, I've had a relationship with Josh for how long? Because, I mean, Josh is
sort of media.
Yeah, I mean, he's a wrestling guy. He loves sports. He's a Steeler fan. He and I have had, you know, conversations. I at night when his daughter was there, I'm saying, holy heck, I remember when she was tagging along with him and she was just a little kid, you know. And that's when you start to go, wow, does time fly, you know. Yeah. That was pretty special to me because I didn't know what I was going to say, but a couple of days before, because the Isaiah Logue, he was supposed to go in.
Right, the golfer from Fairfield.
The golfer from Fairfield, who I've seen play, and I love to play golf. I mean, that's probably not much else I'd rather do. Coaching, I told somebody, I said, the only thing I do now is I coach baseball and play golf, and that's really all I want to do anyway. And I've seen him play, and he's left-handed, I'm left-handed, so the line I was going to use is, he goes, I've got a relationship with these four, Isaiah, the only thing I have in common with you is I'm a left-handed golfer. After that, the comparisons would end.
The handicaps might not be similar.
Yes, my handicap, your handicap would be different, but it was really special. Brian is, I don't know anybody that's more respected than him, and just a terrific guy. And we have a pretty good relationship. We play golf together, and our families, do some things together. And it's really an honor to go into the hall with him.
Well, nobody coaches with the idea, well, if I do this, I'll get into the Hall of Fame. I'm sure you agree with me. You coach. Well, why don't you tell us why you coach and what went through your mind when you're on the ballot? And then you're like, all these people are going to have to vote for you or not. And then when you actually get the word that you've been elected, can you take us through that?
Yeah, it was when Bob told me, he said, hey, I want to nominate you. I was flattered and whatnot.
He's in.
I was agitating them because Bryant, it was the year before, Bryant went into the District 3 Hall of Fame. And Bob had already been in the District 3 Hall of Fame, Wrestling Hall of Fame. And we had refereed the district tournament, and our wives and us, we were eating dinner. After the tournament, we said, the wives come over, we're going to go get dinner. It was the end of the year for all of us. So we were eating dinner, and I was sort of kidding them. I said, I'm eating with a couple of Hall of Famers. I said, I'm not in any Halls of Fame. I said, I'm sort of giving it to him, agitating him a little bit. And wouldn't you know, it was only a couple of weeks later that I found out that I was being inducted into the Legion Baseball Hall of Fame. So then they got a hold of that and they said, okay. And then, and Bob had told me that we're going to nominate you. And I it's just very flattering, you know, that someone would consider you. You know, that night, and I'd never been in that room where they had the Hall of Fame. And you're just looking at the pictures and, you know, it really is overwhelming. You're going, you know, there's some really great people in here. And that the fact that you're being mentioned with them is just, it's just sort of surreal, you know, that you're being
almost,
mentioned with them.
Almost all those people have lives beyond sports, too, and they contribute to their communities.
Yes, yes. It's, you know, that's one of the things that I feel fortunate that in our career, I mean, I retired at 57. I retired pretty early. And, you know, the way the system's set up.
As a teacher?
As a teacher. So I started at, you know, somebody said, how can you retire at 57? I said, well, you start at 22, 35 years, it's 57.
Yeah.
And I really don't think that I was, the teaching part, the daily grind of teaching, 35 years was enough. I really think that if, we don't have this in our profession. Some professions, you know, you can retire and then sort of part-time it. In teaching, you can't do that. If they had said to me, hey, Scott, how about you teach one class a day? I could have done that, you know. Mm-hmm. I just didn't want the daily 8-hour grind of it. And
dealing with the administration. And,
yeah, you know. So
I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it's time-consuming.
Yes.
And
the kids, the time in the room or in the gym or with the kids was always great. And so I felt like at 57, you can't just, I mean, I'm too young just to walk totally away. So I feel very fortunate that I'm still able to contribute as a coach, as a referee, you know. And
as a public address announcer.
And as a public
football games, too. Let's not forget that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I feel fortunate that I'm still able to contribute in some capacity.
And some of these kids that you've worked with over the years in all these different sports, where would they be without sports in their lives? You know, you have to worry about some of them.
That's what I told
you. The positive effect that you've had.
I don't know where I would have been had there not been sports. I don't know what else I would have done. I mean, I don't know. I really don't. Again, we were talking before. Growing up, I had some pretty good role models. Guy was a phys ed teacher. I thought the world of him. You know, he did a great job with us, and every day he came in, you knew that he loved his job and coached. And as a matter of fact, this guy played with Dr. J in Massachusetts. Yeah, and he was our phys ed teacher.
That's basketball for anybody who doesn't know what we're
Dr.
talking
J.
about, right?
Yeah, yeah. He was he actually played with Dr. J at UMass, and he was our junior high phys ed teacher, and he was a great guy. And you know, I honestly think as I look back at that moment, that was kind of when I said, you know what, I think I'd like to do that, you know. And you know, it's been a great career for me.
And now there's a shortage of teachers. Is it hard to find coaches as well?
It really has gotten very tough. I was just having this conversation with someone. When I got to New Oxford, every head coach of every sport in our school, except one, was a teacher. And now, I mean, that's unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's unheard of. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, because I think there are head coaches from all walks of life that are terrific.
Well, coaches don't make a lot of money at this level. So in case people think that, oh, it's a plum, you got to love what you're doing.
You
don't do it for the money.
No, that's what we tell people.
You might not do it for nothing, but you don't do it solely for
I don't think I would have done it for free, but the fact that you made a little money was okay.
Yeah.
Because, again, we were talking, you know, just like the refereeing or whatever, you made a couple of bucks, and it was something that you liked.
Right.
So it made it fun. But at that time, the advantage you have as a teacher, though, is schedule-wise, I mean, you work when the kids are in session. So now if you have someone that does something else for a living, trying to get his work schedule to mesh up with a practice schedule, because now I have some assistants, and that's the case they're in. You're saying, hey, we're running a practice at 2:30, and this guy goes, hey, I don't get off work till like 3:30, and then he comes rushing in, and we try to do everything we can to adapt, because if you've got a good person, you want them involved in your program. And I've been, right now, last year I had six assistants, and four of them aren't making a dime. You know, they want to.
The love of the game.
They love the game. And when you were the Legion game you were at, you know, all three of those guys, they just love the game, and they're also high school assistants. So, again, our kids are being coached by the same people they're going to coach them next year all summer.
Now, when you're a coach, I like to win as a coach. Winning's always more fun.
Absolutely.
So how do you get your yah-yahs as a referee? Maybe that's the wrong way to put it, but what brings you satisfaction as an official?
You know, I just think that...
I guess it's like being a judge in court. You don't win or lose, but you're making sure everything is fair.
Yes. I think the whole point there is to... just make sure that things are done the right way. There's just certain guidelines that have to be followed. We were talking about referees. I think the best referees that I've come across, typically, they were in some sort of people management business, because again, that's what you're doing. Every now and then I'll make a joke to the kids in pre-meet. I'll go, look, guys, I'm going to be the only honest guy in that gym, okay? Everybody in that place is rooting for somebody. Your bench is rooting for you. Their bench is rooting for them. I'm not rooting for anybody, you know? And I think that...
You ever had to make a quick escape from a wrestling
I don't know, not really, but there are times when the
people
match...
People get over emotional.
When the match was over, you got out of there. Mech told us, Mech says this every year, heard this speech 100 times, when new guys come in, new referees, he goes, guys, when the match is over, you got the three S's. Sign, shower, scram. And that's his rule, you know. You don't... I'm not going to engage in any... Not then and there. You know, a coach may, the next week, may ask you a question. Hey, you know, talk to me about the call you made and why did you make that call? And many times, to be honest with you, you know how it is. Once you're removed from the situation and you take a look at it, and now with today's video, I mean, everybody can take a look at a call. Many times, you don't get everyone right, because some things happen pretty quickly. I mean, you look at all the sports now, even wrestling. I mean, there's video review everywhere. Now, I don't see that you're ever going to have that in high school, but
now there's a new rule or two for wrestling.
Wrestling is going to be definitely different. The out of bounds rules, I understand, is going to change to the college rule, which will really make us all better officials, because now
I think we
spend too much time, are they in or out? Because the nightmare situation is that you would award points that are really significant, and later they come back and say that they were out of bounds. So you don't want that to happen. So I think we really. Most officials are really overzealous in are they in or out. And sometimes you miss some of the wrestling because you're really focused on in or out. So with a college rule, it's going to be pretty easy. Now, whether they adopt the three-point takedown and whether they adopt the back point changes, the near fall changes, I heard that's still – they're still deciding whether Pennsylvania is going to adopt it. So, but it should be interesting. I think that what we've done is we've made wrestling much more exciting. And I think throughout the years it's starting to get much more exciting.
Let's wrap it all up.
Okay.
What sports mean to you, and what's the takeaway for young people who participate in athletic competition?
I just think that the positives for being involved in athletics are just, again, I sometimes don't think that young people even know what benefits they've gotten until many years down the road, and it's always satisfying for me to have a player come back and say, Coach, you know, I didn't understand some of the things we were doing, but now I get it. And I
was a knucklehead.
Yeah, I get it. And, you know, it really is satisfying for me to see a player that you've coached, and they come back 20 years later and they have their own family and things are going well. And that's satisfying to know that maybe you had a small part of that success that young man has.
Or maybe not so small.
Yes.
Scott Anderson, thanks for being with us here on this special edition of Sports Chat. Congratulations to you on your enshrinement in the Hall, and best wishes moving forward.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.